All right, take your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48. We're going to read verses 9 through 11. And let's do this. I'll read verse 9. You join me on verses 10 and 11 out loud. We'll read those last two verses out loud. Isaiah chapter 48, verses 9 through 11. Isaiah 48, verses 9 through 11. Still hear a few pages rustling. I'll give you time to catch up to me. Isaiah 48, verses 9 through 11. Ready? For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. In verse 11, ready? For mine own sake, even for my own sake, will I do it. For how should I my name be polluted, and I will not give my glory unto another. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you. Holy Spirit, anoint my lips as I try to help our church today. May we forget about everything that's going on in our life. May we forget about all the problems and all the pressure and all the burdens and all the heartache, and may we focus on the preaching of the Word of God so we could apply it to get through those things, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want you to hear me out this morning. Keep your Bible open there. We'll use them here in a little while. But if you'll listen to me, I see affliction virtually every day of my life. I live my life with hurting people. Some have physical pain, some have emotional pain, some have spiritual pain. Some have been hurt by someone else, some have inflicted their own pain upon themselves. This is one of those statements you'll want to write down one day. No matter what causes the pain, pain hurts. I know that was deep. But do you know what? It doesn't matter if somebody else hurts you or if you hurt yourself, it still hurts. I've just spent 4 days in Maine with a church and a family who's lost a pastor in death. I counseled a family there who's got a family member that has cancer. I counseled a young man addicted to a very sinful habit that's hurting his family. I counseled a man who wanted to quit the church because his pastor died and his heart was hurting. I talked to children who lost their daddy to death. I counseled a young widow having to go forward without her husband, without her pastor. On Monday night, I was going to meet with her on Tuesday morning. Monday night, I had a few hours free, and I told the interim pastor, I said, your daughter had a birthday, go celebrate with her, I'm fine. I went to a restaurant Brother Rick and I went to while I was there 4 years ago. Sat there and ordered and ate by myself. Wrote some things down, and as I sat there, I thought of Jenny and realized the way the rest of her life's going to be. Lonely. Eventually at a table by herself. And my heart hurt for her. I got news this week of a dear Christian lady that I know well who went to heaven. I said this in Sunday school. I don't mean this to be a negative, but I don't think there's been 7 days past this year to where I haven't heard or know somebody who passed away. Not 1 week this year. I'm not talking about on an average. I mean literally not 7 days past. I got word this week of an assistant pastor's wife who was rushed to the hospital in severe pain. A church last week whose pastor resigned and I know the pastor. I spent 45 minutes on the phone last night with an assistant pastor whose pastor just resigned of a different church in a different state, trying to help get them through. I know a pastor who's been down all week with the flu and wasn't even able to get out of bed to preach. His wife's got it, and just a mess. I live my life around sick, hurting, and afflicted people. God tells us here in Isaiah that he refines us in a furnace of affliction. If you look at verse number 10, it says, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." The furnace of affliction. God does not do it for us. God does it for him. If you look, it says, "For my sake, for mine own sake, I will do this." You know, when you refine something, you make it of better value. You make it of better quality. And I want you to understand, God does not do this just for you. He does it for him. Now listen to this. Gold is only valuable when you refine it. When you get the pollutants, when you get all of the unnecessary things out of the way, and then you just have gold, then it becomes valuable. The gold that was put into that wedding band right there, when it was in its raw form, wasn't worth much. You're not going to take some gold that's in a rock and pound out the rock and put it on your finger. It's got to be refined. You have to put it through a furnace and heat it and melt the gold out of it and allow the pollutants to go to the surface and clean off the dross so that it becomes usable and becomes more and more valuable. The word refine means to heat intensely so as to remove all impurity. But I want you to notice something else. It also means to heat and to add it to another substance to make it stronger. Steel is a combination of iron and carbon, and different amounts. And the more carbon, the harder the steel. Now listen to this, but you can't just take carbon and take steel and smoosh it together and say, "Here you go." You've got to superheat both of those, make them pure, then combine them so that, because iron in and of itself is pretty soft. And if you get it too hard, it becomes brittle and you can break it like glass. So it has to be put in at the right amounts, at the right time, at the right temperatures, so that it becomes a stronger piece. That's called refining. It's the word foundry. You know that the word refine literally has a definition that means founder, like a foundry for steel. Now, listen to this very carefully. God says he refines us for his sake. God wants to heat you up, let the pollutants come out so that A, you're more valuable, and B, you're stronger and more usable for more things. God wants to purify us and combine us with him to make us stronger for him. Brother Stoltz, I love you, but you're a sinner. And because we're all sinners, we can't combine with God. So God has to heat us up and get rid of that sin so that we can combine with the Holy Spirit in him so that we can bring more honor and glory to him. Everybody doing all right? Everybody following me? Rattle your head one way or the other, all right? Everybody's kind of this morning. The process is not enjoyable, but the product makes you valuable. Yes, sir. I hate problems. I hate affliction. I don't enjoy death. I don't enjoy stress. I don't enjoy problems, but I will tell you this, thank God for them because it draws us closer to Him. Now listen to this, I hear people often question God. Somebody goes through a hardship. Somebody goes through a problem. Well, I just don't understand. Why is God doing this? Because you're only looking at the furnace. You're not looking at the product. You're only looking at the furnace of affliction. You're not looking at what's going to take place after that. You only see the process, but you're not looking at what can be done because of that process. God will not refine us unless He thinks we're worth the refining process. God's not going to put you through the furnace of affliction unless He believes there's something in you that needs A, cleaned up, and B, that will make you stronger. God wants us to be more valuable than we want to be valuable sometimes. Can I tell you something? Let's quit looking at the furnace of affliction and start looking for the product. Why do we get upset with God for making us more valuable? Why do we get upset with God for making us stronger? Why is it God's fault and not ours? And listen to this. We judge God for only seeing the furnace. We don't see the end result that He wants from it. Preacher. Is it right that a 46-year-old pastor, 15 years of the same church, dies and leaves his wife and six kids? I don't know, I'm not God. But I will tell you this. One of his sons, Jack, just finished reading through his Bible for the third time this year and starting on his fourth way through. Two of his boys got up at his funeral and sang. Watched them all out soul winning the week after they buried their daddy. And I believe God's got some great things for that church. You can't go anywhere in Winthrop, Maine, and part of Augusta, without somebody knowing Brother Rick Walters. Every waitress knew him. Say why? Because he ate a lot. Jenny showed me a stack of cards that high. From people in the community that found out Brother Rick died. There were people at Walmart. There were people at the grocery store. There were waitresses and waiters and different business people from around town. People at the bank that don't even go to his church, but they looked up what his address was or the church address. And there must have been a couple dozen people like that that he touched. What a mark of a great man. He touched people's lives everywhere he went. And I'm supposed to say God wasn't right for doing what happened? I'm going to make a statement here. Too many of us question God rather than trust God. We have the idea that God controls all of the bad in this world, and that is a lie. Let me say that again. We get the idea that God controls all of the bad in this world. Bad is a result of sin. God did not sin, we sinned. Now listen to this. Have you ever realized that God didn't sin? Our sin and the sin of others causes the bad. He never promised to stop the bad. He did promise to go through it with us, because we're all sinners. At what point in time does God get off your judgment because He stopped enough bad for you? Everybody doing all right? God didn't sin, you did. God didn't sin, somebody else did. Well, God could have prevented it, then He has to prevent all bad or God is not just. You know, it's not fair for Him to stop it for Brother Rick, but allow it to happen to Miss Wally.
It's not fair for God to stop it for Bob.
He didn't stop it.
And not stop it for Miss Kim. God didn't sin. God said if you sin, you're going to die. And there's going to be a curse placed on you because of sin. And all of the bad that happens is a result of sin. God did not plan all these bad results. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I don't think God planned for Brother Rick to get cancer. It's a result of sin. I think God sped up the suffering so that he didn't suffer maybe as long. But God did not plan for him to necessarily die that way. Everybody doing all right? By the way, that's the influence of Calvinism in your life and in Baptist doctrine. We get this idea that God predestined everything to happen exactly as it's supposed to happen. A loving God wouldn't let you go through those things. But you sinned and forfeited his ability to stop it. But he said, I'll go through it with you. Now, listen to me very carefully. I want to help you. Number one, we were created for God's glory and God's pleasure, not our own. Take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 4. This is a verse many of you ought to memorize if you don't know it already. Revelation chapter 4, look at verse number 11. Last book of the Bible, fourth chapter. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created, watch this, all things. And for thy pleasure, they are and were created. Hey, are you created by God? Then you were created for God's pleasure. God made man for his pleasure. Let me ask you a question. How much pleasure are you bringing God? Now this one's going to hurt. God made us so that we could fellowship and he could get pleasure from us. But sin separates God and man. Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. When man sinned, God came down and said, Adam, where art thou? And he said, I'm hiding. He said, why are you hiding? He said, because I'm naked. He said, who told you that? He said, did you eat of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? He said, well, God, the woman that thou gavest me, she made me do it. Adam started blaming Eve and God for his own sin. And there was a separation between God and man due to sin. And there was going to be eternal separation in a place called hell. And the only way to avoid that is to accept the gift of God, which is eternal life, through Jesus Christ. And God began to show man what it took for man to get saved, and man got saved. Now watch this. Our sin makes man filled so full of pride that we think God was for us, not us for God. We are so stinking full of pride, and I'm including me, all right? Yeah, stinking. We are so stinking full of pride that we think God did it all just for me. Well, that makes you feel all warm and squishy, but Jesus didn't come just for you. He came so that God could have what God wanted. I used this song before so that you don't get mad at me, but oh, back in the 70s and 80s, there was a popular Southern gospel song. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. If I were the only one, he would come, die just for me. That may be true, but he didn't do it for you. Jesus did it so that the Father could have fellowship with man, because you were created to fellowship with him. You were created to bring him glory. You were created to bring him pleasure. And we are to give God the pleasure that is due him. Why is it that we humans think that God's supposed to be there for us? And if we rub the bottle in, the genie doesn't pop out and give us what we want, or things don't happen the way we have it planned, then I just don't understand God. Oh, well, we already knew you didn't understand God. You're not God. We don't pray to you. God never one time in this book Not one place ever says, understand me. Matter of fact, he said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts and my ways are higher than your thoughts and your ways. There is no way you could understand God because you're a sinner. He is sinless. We think we are God and that God should do as we want. Can I tell you something? You better be glad I'm not God. You think the world's a mess right now? It'd be worse of a mess if I was God. There probably wouldn't be a world. I'd blow it all up. Amen? Start all over. Huh. So, according to Scripture, we were made and created for God's glory and God's pleasure. God was not made for our pleasure and our glory. Let me use the season. 'Tis the season to be jolly. Everything is about buying something for everybody but giving nothing to God. And I hate to tell you something, that bothers me. I'm not against giving gifts. Not against buying a Christmas tree. If you are, don't get one.
Well, I heard somebody preach that it's in the Bible that you shouldn't have a Christmas tree.
They got holes in their head. But if you don't want one, don't get one. Period. End of discussion. Now, I will agree with you. The Easter Bunny doesn't lay eggs. Ain't never seen a rabbit lay eggs. Amen. Well, how come we don't have the Easter chicken? I'm not going there. That song we sang a little while ago, In Excelsis, that's a chicken farmer song, amen, In Excelsis. But, you know, we get to this time of year and we're gonna spend all this money giving gifts to everybody, go in debt and get mad because we got to go visit this part of the family and visit that part of the family, and I hate this part of the family and I got to go with the in-laws. Well, number one, you ought to be able to get along with just about anybody. And family's family, like it or lump it. Everybody's got Aunt Gertrude and Uncle Henry and, you know, the ones that are going to cause trouble. They do it every year. Why do you get upset about it? Can I tell you something? Why don't we decide we're going to give God Christmas this year? So, we're created for God's glory. God was not created for our glory. Did you know, because you're not God, God doesn't have to do what you say?
That's right.
Sat down at the table in the kitchen. Rick and Jenny's parsonage there. You've seen it. I sat on this side of the table. She sat on that side. And she said, Brother Bush, I'm swimming in God's grace. Trouble is, I just can't see in the fog. I know it's all going to be okay. I just can't see where I'm going. And for the next 2.5 hours, Brother Mike, I said, let's lift the fog. And she said, I don't even know what to ask. I said, it's okay. Let me start. She said, if you could just give me some lists. I said, oh, you're going to have more lists than you know what to do with, girl. I gave her lists. I gave her phone numbers. I've already got her and Brother Fugit working together. I've got her working with a financial planner. I've got her working on car insurance and homeowners insurance and had her working on some other things. She had questions about cell phones and banks, and all of a sudden, things started rolling. She had 2 sheets of paper. She said, I got my lists. And I just smiled at her. She said, but I have a feeling each one of these things is going to turn into a list. I said, time to get busy. And she started getting busy. I got her with Social Security, got her with VA because he was in the military for 8 years. Started working with some things and started trying to get her the help that she needs. Got done, and she said, Brother Bush, for the first time in months, I actually can see. The fog lifted.
They said, good. Good. That's what my job was.
She couldn't see, but I could. You can't always see, but you can go to the one who does see.
So, we were created for God's glory and God's pleasure. Number two, God needs to refine us, to purify us, and to strengthen us.
Did you know sin makes you weak? Young people, listen to me. The more you get involved in sin, the weaker you are. Promise you. You go downtown Martinsburg and find the crack addict. They're as weak as water.
They really are. That's why you get addicted and can't quit. You're too weak. Everybody doing all right? You commit a sin against your body, and eventually you're going to be too weak to go on. We get so critical, it's easy not to trust anybody. We're so weak, we think that we don't need anybody else.
I want you to see something here. Take your Bible in Isaiah 48 again.
God chose affliction instead of anger to refine us. Look at verse number 9. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee.
Wow. God said, I love this, Fred. He said, I'm going to defer my anger. Instead of getting ticked off and whooping you, I'm going to put you through a furnace of affliction. Everybody look at me for just a second here. Did you know that the furnace of affliction is not God's anger? It's his mercy. Hell is God's anger. I'd rather take affliction than hell. Wouldn't you? I'd rather have a few problems and a few aches and pains and some that hurt worse than others, and I'd rather have to deal with affliction here on earth than have to be in hell for eternity. God's anger is a whole lot worse than affliction. And he said, I'll back it off so you don't have to die and go to hell. But I'll choose affliction because you're too proud, you're too arrogant, you're too stuck on yourself to listen to my word, and I'll put you through those afflictions to force you to purify so that I can strengthen you and get you through it. Everybody doing all right? We think affliction is his anger, but it's not. Hell is God's anger. Affliction means beaten up by circumstances, self-inflicted pain, forced to do what you don't want to do. Almost a year ago, I found out I was going to go on an elk hunt. I was fat and out of shape and old. I couldn't fix the old, but I could the out of shape and fat. And I had to declare war on myself. I lost 23 pounds. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to declare war on me. I can declare war on a lot of things, but I rarely choose to declare it on me. Time to declare war on me. And I did. My hunt's over, but I'm still declaring war on me. Found out it worked. Almost, it's a whole lot easier to not put it on than to take it off. Amen? Amen. Lord have mercy. And man, these maniacs, they eat like maniacs. Oh, I'm telling you. I mean, it's all they wanted to do was eat. And I said, I'm okay. Brother Chris wanted to take me duck hunting. So for 3 hours on Monday morning, we went duck hunting. It was 22 degrees outside. I said, I didn't bring clothes for this. He said, I got it. Don't worry. Do you ever wear size 10 and a half boots when you have 8 and a half shoes and you're stuck that deep in mud? That is not fun. But I got through it. The funniest part was the mud was right to the top of my boots. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, if that goes in there, that's going to be bad. And I went to pull my foot out, and the whole boot stayed in the mud. I had to stick my foot back in the boot and try to pull that thing out. Oh, wait a minute. He and this other guy, they're really into duck hunting. Shh, don't tell anybody. I'd never been duck hunting in my life. I've shot shotguns at everything except ducks. I killed 3 ducks. They didn't kill anything. I haven't shot a shotgun in 8 years, Brother Larry, but I still got it, amen. The old critter just showed up to 2 young bucks, amen. Both of them together equaled about my age. I borrowed the guy's gun. I borrowed his shotgun shells. I borrowed his clothes and beat him with his own gun, his own clothes, and his own shot. Now, wait a minute. I was inflicting punishment on myself, though. Got up at 4:30 in the morning to go do that. It was cold. You're in water and muck and mud. Huh. Say, what'd you do? Went back, showered, cleaned up. Worked the rest of the day till late that night. Counseled all day. They wanted to go Tuesday morning. 4:30, my phone rang, Brother Mike. Preacher, it's only 12 degrees out. I said, okay, I'll need that other coat that I didn't wear yesterday. He said, you still want to go? I said, I'm good with it. It's whatever you want to do. I guess we could go and about every half hour go warm up in the car. I said, hey, it's up to you. I said, I'm as happy working as I am hunting. Don't you do it for me. He said, okay, I'll meet you at the church at 7. Say, what'd you do that for? Because I wasn't going to be the one sissied out. He was going to be the one sissied out, not me. Mm-mm. I can take it longer than he can. I've been at this a whole lot longer. Huh. God allows us to go through affliction, but God does not create the affliction. Let me say that again. God allows us to go through the affliction, but God does not create the affliction. Isaiah 48, verse number 10, it says, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. He didn't say, I made the furnace of affliction. He said, I chose you while you were in it. We know the story of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. I don't believe God made it to where Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were going to get thrown into the fire furnace. That was Nebuchadnezzar's idea, not God's. But I will tell you this. Our God is able to deliver us. But if not. But if not, God will still get the glory. They opened the door of the furnace, and the guys that opened the door of the furnace burned up, died right there. They got more guys to throw them into the furnace. Old Nebuchadnezzar looked in that furnace, and he saw 4 people loose walking around. He said, hey, how many do we put in there? They said, 3. He said, I see 4. And the 4th is like the Son of God. And he hollers into the furnace, hey, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, come on out. I think that's one of the funniest parts of that story. He's calling into the fire of people that he threw in to burn up, and now they're alive walking around in there. They walked out. Can I tell you something? How many were in the fire? How many came out of the fire? That means Jesus is still in the fire. He's going to go through the affliction with you. But he did not create the affliction. Nebuchadnezzar created the affliction. Everybody doing all right? God knows our pride is so strong that we're not going to listen unless we hurt or struggle. When I was a kid, everybody listen to this. Y'all know my dad. He's one of those people, he gives instruction and it's never very clear. You never know what he's thinking. Ha ha, ha ha. I remember him saying I was to do something. And I'd say, but Dad, and he'd say, you got 2 choices. Either you do it or I whip you and you do it. But either way, you're going to do it. You decide, do you want the whipping or not? You know, when you put it down in those terms, not a real hard decision. Say, boy, you had a mean dad. Yeah, I did. And I turned out okay. You know, God didn't sin, we did. Everybody listen to this statement. Did you know God doesn't have to listen to you? When my children were very small, especially in that 2, 3, 4, 5 range. But dad, excuse me? 4-year-olds don't tell dad what to do. Dad tells 4-year-olds what to do. Like it or lump it. End of discussion. I was principal in a school. You know, these little kindergartners, they have more angles than a protractor. And I'd get one of them in there, and sometimes I had to step out of my office so I could laugh because it really was funny. And I said, look, 5-year-olds don't tell their teacher what to do. The teacher tells the 5-year-old what to do, and the 5-year-old obeys. Got it? Yes, sir. Good. I had one of them. And I always use correction as a time to teach them about salvation. That little kindergartner, I said, now, you did wrong, and it's called sin. Do you know what sin is? Yeah, it's bad. And I said, have you ever sinned? Oh, no, not me. And I thought, okay, he's not ready yet. But let's go ahead and get through anyway. And I said, do you know what happens when people sin? Do you know where they go? School? I said, well, some might call school this place, but that's not where it's at. I lost it. I really did. That was one of the funniest responses to that question. But I kind of agreed with him. God doesn't have to listen to us. But everybody listen to this. God knows that if he did not put hell out there, we probably wouldn't choose salvation on our own. If you could get there on your own, why should you get saved?
Right.
That's why man's religion, man wants to do it man's way. We're to do it God's way, not man's way. Anybody doing all right? Number next. Don't put your shoes on yet, but it's the last point. How do we get through the furnace of affliction? We know we're going to face it. We know God does it to strengthen us, to clean us up. Number three, how do we get through it? Glad you asked. You ready? Number one, we praise him. Isaiah chapter 49, verse number 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Can I tell you something? He said we're supposed to praise him. We're refined, so we'll praise him. Can I tell you something? Brother Fred, bless God, I'm never going to have to face judgment for my sin. Brother Barnes, I'm never going to be judged for my sin. My name is written in heaven, Joe. Brother Mike, it's never going to be held against me. Old smutty face doesn't have any power over me. And guess what? It's gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. I've got a Savior who died for me. I accepted it. I have God's genetics. I have eternal life. And Brother Jimbo, my name's written in heaven, and I'm never going to die and go to hell. I don't know about you, but that's enough to get excited about.
Amen.
Well, what about this problem? Yeah, I hurt, but who gives a flip? When I die, they'll throw me in a box and throw dirt in my face, but I'm going to already be playing tag with the angels. Can I tell you something? We focus on the furnace instead of the praise to get us out of the furnace. When Paul and Silas were in jail, they weren't pouting saying, oh, my God, put us in jail. All we did was try to preach his book. All we were trying to do is his will. We just ought to sit here and have a pity party. No, the Bible says at midnight they started singing praises to God. Guess what? Then the earthquake came and they got out of jail. So we're to praise him. Can I tell you something? Take time every day of your life and do something and praise God. Take 5 minutes, take 1 minute of it, get a piece of paper out, write some things to praise God for, and take the next four and just read through your list praising God for it. Your family, your health, your children, your spouse, your salvation, whatever it is. You ought to learn how to praise God every day of your life. By the way, you can praise God with your music too. How many of you ever heard old Lester Roloff preach and or sing? He did kind of both of them all at once. Man, he'd start preaching and he'd just bust loose in song. He'd point back to the girls that were with him and they'd start singing with him. I can hear it now. Can I tell you something? There's times I'm down. There's times I'm discouraged. There's times I'm just weary with carrying people's burdens, and I'll bust out in song. It's enough to pick you back up. By the way, that's why you ought to listen to music that picks you up, not talking about sin that's going to push you back down farther in the ground. So we're to praise him. Number two, we're to be fruitful. Genesis chapter 41, verse number 52. We're supposed to do things to become fruitful. Can I tell you something that will discourage you? Doing nothing. Sitting on your blessed assurance, doing nothing, is a good way to get depressed. I'll promise you. Everybody doing all right? Hang on, I'm going to teach you something. Last Saturday, I showed up in Maine. Jenny didn't make it to church the first Sunday after Rick was gone. She looked at me, she said, "Brother Bush, you're here. That means I got to go to church." She kind of smiled at me. She said, "Every time I walk into that building, I start crying." I said, "I understand, but walk through the tears. Walk through the tears." She came Sunday morning. She sat through church. She stepped out during the closing invitation. She sent me a text. She said, "I'm sorry, I just couldn't face the people." I said, "You were there. You faced them." I said, "I'll see you tonight." She walked through the door. She came 15 minutes early. Started talking to people. A little four-year-old girl, came and gave her a big old hug and sat down next to her. Plop. And as only a four-year-old child could do, sat on next to her and just conversed with her. Not a care in the world. She stayed through church. She stayed through the invitation. She stayed for the business meeting, and she stayed after the business meeting. Wow. Met with her on Monday. She said, "I needed that." She said, she looked at the interim pastor, and she said, "Don't you worry, I'll be in every service now. I'm okay." Sometimes you just got to get up. I didn't feel like getting up this morning, just so you know. I really didn't. But it did. Whoever feels like getting up? You say, "You do, preacher." I don't always feel it. We're to be fruitful. Can I tell you something? Serve God, not yourself. If you'll start living for God instead of living just for yourself, you're going to find out how great life can be. I know this is going to sound weird, Brother Mike, but I had the time of my life for 4 days trying to help those folks. I didn't enjoy what I was helping them with. But I love seeing people get back up. I love seeing people get enough strength to go help somebody. Whew. According to Psalm 119, verse number 50, the Bible is our comfort during affliction. It says, "Thy word is my comfort in affliction." Can I tell you something? When you're afflicted, get in that book. Don't go to Facebook. Let me say that again. Get in the book. Yes. Facebook is not going to help you. God's book is going to help you. Yes. You're not necessarily a sinful person because of Facebook, but more people are sinning because of it. Right. You need the Word of God and mass doses of the Word of God to help you when you can't make it on your own. There ain't no way I could help that church. Nothing I was going to say was going to bring Rick back. But I saturated myself in that book and said, God, you're going to have to speak through me and through it. Help them. The only help they got was from the Word of God. Not from me. I just preaching what was already in the book.
Next, God is our refuge in affliction. You know what the word refuge means? It means protected place. Why is it that when we're going through hard times, we want to run away from God, not run to Him? I don't get that. I don't get it. We ought to be running toward God, not away from God. And by the way, don't complicate it by running to sin. Well, I've already blown it once. I might as well go back out and do it some more. No, run away from it and run to God. Quit running to your sin and making it worse. Run to God, get it right, and run away from your sin. Number next, and I'm done. 2 Timothy chapter 4 says we're supposed to endure affliction as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure affliction.
Can I tell you something? Miss Wally, I can't take your aches and pains away. But we're going to go through them together. At least till we get rid of Fred. I mean, we're going to go through them together. Miss Osi, I wish I could, but I can't take the pain away. You're stuck with Harry. I can't take your pains away. Miss Arlene, I can't take the pains away that you've had. And I know what some of those are. But I can promise you this, I'm going through it with you.
I'm not backing off. Ashley, there's no hope for you. We'll go through it together, amen? God didn't say He's going to take it away. He said endure it. Endure it. Endure it. You know, there are some people you just don't ask how they're doing because they're going to sit there and tell you everything that's wrong. Lord have mercy. If I told you everything that was wrong in my life, you don't have enough life, neither do I. I went to Maine last week, and I had 3 bones out in my neck and my shoulder out and a pinched nerve that was fired up all the way down below my elbow. I didn't say anything to anybody, and I went out duck hunting that way. I got back and on Thursday went to the chiropractor. He sat on me 4 different times, I think. And that was just to get my neck in place. My pelvis was out. He had to pull, snap. I mean, I sounded like a box of Rice Krispies. Let me tell you. Now, everybody listen to me for just a second. I got back and Brother Drolyard in Maine said, how you doing? I said, I'm doing much better now. I went to the chiropractor. I said, I had a pinched nerve in my neck for the last 2 weeks. He said, how come you didn't tell me why you're here? I said, it wasn't your pain, it was mine. Don't worry about it. I don't tell anybody. Say why? You don't want to hear about my aches and pains. I'll listen to yours, but you don't need me to tell you every time I hurt. Say why? Because that's every day. I'm getting to that age, amen? We're to endure affliction. Listen to this and I'm done. God is not punishing us with affliction. But He chooses us in the affliction to purify us and to strengthen us. Many people get bitter because of affliction and blame God for the affliction, but God didn't bring the affliction. Sin brought the affliction. Yes. Now, your choice is this. Get angry and bitter with God, or use it to purify and strengthen you. Which is it? It'll hurt less if you go through the refiner's fire. You'll be more valuable. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be thrown aside as dross. I don't want to be wasted. I don't want to go through the fire for waste. I didn't even tell my wife this. I was dealing with a pastor or an assistant pastor last night whose church, their pastor resigned and going through a battle. one of the deacons on the deacon board was a man my wife and I won to Christ. He and his wife, and we're in our Sunday school class in that church. I thought to myself, all these years later, I still got some fruit there that's hanging on the tree doing something. He gave me the name, and I said, looks like this, and his wife's like, yep, that's exactly who it was. Yep, I know him. I thought, I remember the day I won him and his wife to Christ and baptized him. He's about 8 foot tall, you know, he's about this tall. He's one of those guys I had to fold him down to get him baptized. I thought, now he's a deacon in the church. Glory to God. Been decades since I've heard from him. Guess what? Went through some refining furnaces, but it paid off. Paid off. Are you going to get bitter, get thrown aside, or are you going to go through it and make yourself stronger and more valuable? I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. God did not create the affliction. Sin did, but he'll go through that furnace of affliction with you. Every head bowed, every eye closed.